So, last week, Deb and I were down at a ministry conference down in Pennsylvania, and we had a very good time. It was great to reconnect with people that we hadn't seen in so long. I hadn't seen them in about 2 years. Debbie hadn't seen them in about 3 years because she wasn't able to go to the last conference because her sister had hip replacement surgery. So I had to drive Debbie to Buffalo to meet up with my sister-in-law, and then they went back to Indiana when I went down to the conference in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Last year, I thought about it in advance, and I showed up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, with my Amish hat and my black coat and my full Amish beard. Driving the car, they didn't think was a really good fit, but hey, you know, it was fun. This year, they said, oh, we were hoping you'd have your beard grown. I didn't think about it in time, so that was why I didn't do it. But while we were there, there was one night I just picked up the Pew Bible, and flipping through it, you ever pick up the Bible and just flip through it? And I hit Jeremiah 33, verse 1. Jeremiah 33, verse 1 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And that just hit me. Here Jeremiah is in the court of the prison. God says, call to me and answer me. But it says, it's the second time. Here is the second time the voice of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he was in the court of the prison. Like, okay, well, what about the first time? So I look back in Jeremiah chapter 32, and we're not going there, but I look back in Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah is thrown in the court of the prison because he's preaching something that the king did not want him to preach. The king, Jeremiah, said, judgment's coming on Judah. You're going to be carried away into Babylon. No sense in fighting it. You know, don't worry about it. You're going to be in captivity for 70 years. So that's what Jeremiah's message was, and that's what God had revealed to him. So he's bringing forth the message. The king does not want that message put out there and has him arrested. So the voice of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he's in the court of the prison. You know, sometimes being in jail is God's provision and God's providence for you.
Yeah.
I know. I can tell you that. Sometimes God is trying to get our attention. Sometimes he's trying to protect us. Things happen in our lives and we pray against it. Lord, why did you let these things happen? The voice of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he's still in jail. God did not let him out at that point. God had not freed him up. God had not changed his circumstances. And God goes on to say, call to me. Verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. The blessings of God are not limited by our circumstances. The blessings of God are not limited by where we are or what's going on in our lives. It was God's perfect will for Jeremiah to be in prison for having declared that what God said he was going to do, for being faithful to God. In fact, when you do read Jeremiah 32, you'll find out that one of the things that happened is Jeremiah had sent out word for people to go ahead and redeem property and you know, get your deeds and all that stuff and put it in a safe place. They're about to be carried away into captivity for 70 years. But this is going to establish the family's ownership of the lands when they come back. It's important to do this. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and told him to do that. And it goes on and says his uncle or one of his relatives came while he's in jail. And they did that. They actually transferred a piece of property and recorded the deed and put it in a safe place. Fulfilling the word of God even when the circumstances don't look like it. Even when the circumstances seem difficult. You know? We are where God wants us. If the word says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his ways, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand. God directs my steps. God directs your steps. Even when it doesn't look like we're going where we wanted to go. Even when it looks like our situations are completely messed up, God is still God. God is still in control. He still loves us. He still has our best in mind. And He is still at work in the circumstances. Praise God. There is great comfort in knowing that I cannot get away from God's hand. I cannot get away from God's grace. Praise God. Not that I haven't tried, believe me. You know? But God's grace is such that He loves me so much that He's the one who picks me up when I fall down. He's the one who directs my steps. And I've said this so many times, as you know, people are probably tired of hearing of it, but I believe if our heart is set to follow God, and we are set to follow God, and we step out and we're going in the wrong direction, God is able to turn the ground under our feet so that when our foot comes down, we're going the direction God wants us to go. And it may look really weird. May look like you're just stumbling and dancing, but God is still at work guiding and directing our steps. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. We covered the bit leading up to this in our Bible study recently. It's where Elijah put to death the 400 prophets of Baal after their God failed to answer by fire, but the God of Israel did answer by fire. 19 verse 1 says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.' Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on the coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank and went on the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb to the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Do you believe that the angel could have given him food enough to cover the first time? Could have. But didn't. Sometimes things happen in our lives a second time. God keeps bringing things around to get our attention. Touched him, gave him food, wake him up. Here, arise, eat and drink. Okay. He ate the food that was there. He drank the water. He went back to sleep. And then the angel came and touched him again. Says, no. Eat and drink. What you have taken so far is not enough to carry you. Sometimes God works in our lives and things keep coming up and coming up because God is trying to get our attention. God is trying to teach us a lesson. God is trying to guide us and direct us. And you know, if things just happen one time, maybe, okay, that's a coincidence. Back when I was in the Navy, and also back when I was a computer tech for immigration, one thing I found out quite often is if you do something nice for a person one time, you're a great person. You do it nice a second time, you're just fantastic. You do it the third time, well, it's always been your job. The attitudes just change. We tend to not recognize what's going on because either it seems to be completely out of character, or it becomes commonplace, and we lose the gratitude for what God is doing. God will continue to bring things up in our lives. When I was getting ready to retire from immigration, Deb and I were talking about it, and we were praying and saying, "God, are you going to send somebody to take over the church and free us up, or what are you going to do?" It was 15 people came up and say how wonderful it was that we'd been faithful right where God has placed us. Sometimes you get a message over and over and over and over and over again just to make sure you got the message. Two or three people might be a coincidence. 15 people we have heard from heaven. We are here until God makes it just as plain it's time to go someplace else. When we were asked if we were wanted to take over the church, the former pastor said, the people won't come back as long as I'm here. And Deb and I were praying and we're riding down the road listening to the Christian radio station, and the minister says, you know what God called you to do, stop goofing off and do it. Okay. But then we were riding around the next day, had another minister, a different message, same exact thing. You know what God called you to do. Sometimes we need that repeating. Sometimes God continues to reinforce the message. The second time, I'm trying to get your attention. Moses went up to the mountain of God, and God, with his own finger, wrote in the stone tablets. You know, Cecil B. DeMille did a great job depicting that. The finger of God writing the Ten Commandments and then cutting out the tablets. And Moses carried them down, and he found the congregation of Israel sinning. They had melted down their gold and made a golden calf. And he threw down the tablets and broke them. When he went back up to the mountain, God made him cut out his own tablets. But he had to go back up to the mountain. There had to be that second time. Reinforcing what God is doing. Just like Jeremiah. Jeremiah, in the prison, God has said, I'm with you. God has said, chapter 3, I believe it is, of Jeremiah, where God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I called you to be a prophet to the nations. That I've got my hand in your life. I'm at work. No matter what your circumstances look like, I am at work in this. So here he is in the prison. That wasn't the only time Jeremiah was in the prison, by the way. And that wasn't the worst time Jeremiah was in the prison. There was one time he was under the prison. There was one time he was in a septic tank. What a wonderful place. Yeah. If you're going to be punished, that's punishment. Praise God. So here, God had talked to Elijah. And you remember with Elijah, you know, God goes in to rebuke him. Why are you here? He says, I'm all alone. God says, you're not alone. You are not alone. You are not unique. I have 4,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You are not alone. You just don't see who's around you. Sometimes that's our own problem too. We feel like we're all alone, but we're not. We've got the Holy Spirit, which is our comforter. We've got the Lord directing us. We've got God directing our steps. We've got brothers and sisters, even ones we don't know, praying for us. Praise God. We are never alone. We are part of a family. We are part of the body of Christ. And the Bible says that the whole body, fitly joined together, is strengthened by that which each joint supplies. Meaning each and every one of us is important. Not only to ourselves, but to each other and to God. We all have a plan and purpose. God has equipped us specifically for the task He's laid out before us. God will bring people into your life, people into your path for you to share with, for people for you to be a light to. That maybe somebody else couldn't be that light to them. You're important. God is continuing to stir in you. Stir in each and every one of us. Jonah 3, beginning with verse 1. Says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Remember the first time. Remember their reaction. Came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3-day journey in extent. So in Jonah 1, God said the exact same thing. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach there the message I will tell you. And Jonah didn't want to do it. And Jonah's disobedience actually cost the ship all its cargo. And they all feared for their lives. None of the people on it were injured. But everything they had was thrown over the side, including the rigging. Jonah's disobedience to God was costly to the people around him. But when, after 3 days in the belly of the fish, God didn't change his mind about what he told him to do. Arise and go to Nineveh. You still need to do what God called you to do. The giftings and callings of God are without repentance, the Bible says. God does not change His mind about what He wants you to do. God has not changed His mind about how He made you. You are precious in the sight of a holy God who knew you before you were born, knit you together in your mother's womb, and has a plan and purpose for your life. And sometimes He tells us again and again and again, but He doesn't change His mind about what He called us to do. He doesn't change His mind because of our circumstances. He doesn't change His mind because I didn't see that coming. The omnipotent God saw what was coming. The omnipotent God knew what would happen today. The omnipotent God knew about Route 78 going to be closed these past few days. Praise God they got that fixed. That was a mess. Praise God nobody was injured. You know about that, right? Campbell's Bay Road. What is that? Rock? That's not Rock Creek. What is that? It's not Mud Creek either. Yeah. I don't remember what it's called, but Campbell's Bay Road right there on Route 78. So past Devon's, heading towards Swanton, right there. So the road washed out. The culvert washed out, and the blacktop was collapsing, and they had to cut all that out. So from Wednesday night.
Dad, as I was getting ready to pass, I could watch the roll call.
Nice.
The Lord was riding with us.
Amen.
And we prayed for the same journey.
Amen. So from Wednesday night, and they got it fixed Friday night. So they actually had to cut out the old culvert and put in a new culvert. They were talking about doing a temporary bridge. Now, because of the drawbridge down in between Grand Isle and North Hero, oversized trucks cannot come up through the islands. They have to go up that way. So then with Route 78 closed, oversized trucks had a choice. Crown Point Bridge or go up into Canada and around. Because there's no other way across this part of the lake. An oversized truck cannot go on the ferry anyway, so praise God. Detours happen, by the way. Detours, rabbit trails. God knows exactly what's going on in our lives. He knows everything about us and loves us anyway. He knows everything about us and still has a plan and purpose. The grace of God is sufficient for us. Praise God. So God hadn't changed His mind. We have that example in Jonah. Went and told him to do exactly what he had already told him to do. Go ahead. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And he said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message I will tell you. God hasn't changed His mind. Praise God. He still loves us. His arm is still outstretched. He still has a plan and purpose for our lives. The voice came a second time to tell him the exact same message. Praise God. Final passage of Scripture. Mark 14, beginning with verse 66. Says, now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're saying. And he went out on the porch and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean and your speech shows it. Then he began to curse and swear and says, I do not know this man of whom you speak. The second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. God spoke to Peter through a rooster. Sometimes our circumstances will be evidence of what God is saying. God just reinforcing what we know. Jesus had told Peter, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Not me, Lord. Even though I die, I will not deny you. Yet here it was. He denied the first time and the rooster crowed. Didn't think anything of it. denied two more times, and the rooster crowed again. And then he remembered. When God is speaking to us, sometimes we don't hear it clearly. Sometimes we don't understand what God is saying. But when God makes it plain, it catches our attention. He loves us. He cares for us so much. He's been at work in our lives. He's directed our steps. He's shown Himself mighty in so many different ways. God has a plan and purpose for you and for me, for each and every one of us. And among those plan and purposes are to strengthen our brothers and sisters. We should be praying for the people around us, praying for our brothers and sisters. The Bible says to pray for everyone. I would that prayer and giving of thanks be made for all men and women and children. Lift people up. That God be at work. We're to pray for our president. We are to pray for all of those in positions of authority. But we're to pray for each and every person. We're to pray for our brothers and sisters. We're to pray. You know, the Bible says sometimes we don't even know how we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit teaches us. Prays through us sometimes with groanings that cannot be uttered. That God is at work. And He loves you, and He's directing your steps. And He's calling you and me and each and every one of us to walk closer to Him, to walk in obedience to what He would have us to do. Praise God, He's not done with us. Praise God, He hasn't changed His mind. He hasn't thrown us away. Call to me and ask, and I will show you great things which you do not know. Didn't change Jeremiah's circumstances, but he still said, I have a plan and a purpose for you, and I want you to want me more and to know more about me. God has called each and every one of us to a deeper walk. Each and every one to seek His face. Each and every one of us to draw closer to Him. You say, well, you know, I don't know. I read my Bible a lot. I pray a lot. And again, I say, none of us have such a glow of the glory of God on our face that we have to wear a veil like Moses did when he came down from the mountain. We can know more of the Lord. We can draw closer to God. And God desires that intimacy. Before the fall in the garden, the Bible says that the Spirit of God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, just spending time with them. And then after their sin, when they'd sown fig leaves and they were hiding, they heard the voice of the Lord walking coming in the garden, and they hid. And the omnipotent God says, "Where are you?" Not that He didn't know, but He wanted them to examine themselves. What happened to the relationship that we had? God calls us for a closer walk. Calls us to draw close to Him. Calls us to seek His face. Calls us to desire more and more than what we're familiar with.